I'm Mark Mallett. This is the Now Word for February 17th, 2016. We continue now in day 8 of our Lenten retreat, reflecting today on humility. Well, it's one thing to have self-knowledge, to see clearly the reality of one's spiritual poverty, lack of virtue, or deficit in charity. In a word, to see the abyss of one's misery. But self-knowledge is not enough. It has to be wed to humility in order for grace to take effect. Just compare again Peter and Judas. Both came face to face with the truth of their inner corruption, but in the first case, with Peter, self-knowledge was wed to humility, while in the latter it was wed to pride. And as the Proverbs say, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now listen, God doesn't reveal the depths of your poverty to destroy you, but to liberate you from yourself by His grace. His light is given to help you and me see that apart from Him, we can do nothing. You know, and for many people, it takes years of suffering, trials, and sorrows to finally yield to the truth that God is God and I'm not. But for the humble soul, progress in the interior life can be swift because there are fewer obstacles in the way. And I want you, my dear brother and my dear sister, to hasten in holiness. And here's how. It says in Isaiah 40, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." That is, in the desert of your soul, barren of virtue, make straight a highway for God. That is, stop defending your sinfulness with crooked half-truths and twisted logic, and simply lay it out straight before God. Lift up every valley, that is, confess every sin that you keep in the darkness of denial. Make every mountain and hill low, that is, admit that any good you've done, any grace you have, any gifts you hold, come from Him and Him alone. And last, level the uneven ground, that is, expose the roughness of your character, the bumps of selfishness, the potholes of habitual defects. Now, we might be tempted to think that the revelation of the depths of our sinfulness would cause the all-holy God to run the other way. But to a soul who has humbled themselves in this way, Isaiah says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." How? In essentially seven paths upon which the Lord travels to our heart. The first is the one we've been discussing yesterday and today. The recognition of one's spiritual poverty encapsulated in the beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If you recognize your need for God, then already the kingdom of heaven is being imparted to you in its first stages. You know, brothers and sisters, one day after recounting to my spiritual director how miserable I was, I went on and on the phone. He just calmly responded. He said, "This is very good. If God's grace was not active in your life, Mark, you would not see your misery. So this is good." You know, from that day on, I have learned to thank God for confronting me with the painful truth of myself, whether it comes through my spiritual director, my wife, my kids, my confessor, or in my daily prayer, when the word of God, as it says in Hebrews, pierces even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. And finally, it's not the truth of your sinfulness that you need to fear, no, rather the pride that would hide or dismiss it. For St. James says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Indeed, as it says in Psalm 25, He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble His way. The more humble we are, the more grace we receive. As Jesus said to St. Faustina, "More favor is granted to a humble soul than the soul itself asks for." That is, no sin, no matter how terrible, will cause Jesus to turn away from you if you humbly acknowledge it. As it says in Psalm 51, "A contrite, humbled heart, O God, you will not spurn. So let these words encourage you, dear friends, encourage you, like Zacchaeus, to come down from the tree of pride and walk humbly with your Lord, who desires this day to dine with you. I want to quote right now Matthew the Poor from his book, The Communion of Love, this beautiful, encouraging paragraph that I often turn to. He said, "The sinner who feels within himself a total deprivation of all that is holy, pure, and solemn because of sin, the sinner who in his own eyes is in utter darkness, severed from the hope of salvation, from the light of life, and from the communion of saints, is himself the friend whom Jesus invited to dinner, the one who was asked to come out from behind the hedges, the one asked to be a partner in his wedding and an heir to God. Whoever is poor, hungry, sinful, fallen, or ignorant is the guest of Christ." In summary, self-knowledge must be wed with humility in order for grace to form Christ within you. As St. Paul said, "Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God bless you.